Been an interesting journey for my son. Like, he got this award,
I mean, he's
which shows that he excelled in the army. But naturally, he's not someone who follows orders. He's a bit like me, like a bit, you know, strong-minded. You know, following orders isn't natural for him. But then that's part of when you go beyond yourself and do something that's not natural, that's when you really excel. That's part of what we're actually getting to now with the Beinoni.
Right.
That the Beinoni reached a level where he pushed himself so much, he became his habits, his focus became so refined that he was zochet to a gift. What was the gift? Ibur Neshama. We're gonna do the summary because it's important. The Ibur Neshama that he got, this Neshama, this extra level of Tzaddik, came down to him from the Neshamas of Tzaddikim. Like, I don't know exactly who and what and how, but somehow the Neshama of a Tzaddik comes into you and it gives you extra kochas once you really push yourself to constantly do Ratzon Hashem, to habitualize, to be bottled to Hashem constantly, consistently. So
the notes on the thing, it actually says the Rebbe himself says this is that.
Yeah.
On the lessons in Tanya, says that it doesn't mean that your nefesh and your Beinoni is not there. It's still there. You just, it's almost like you get like a booster shot.
Ah, yeah. So you're still a Beinoni, but you've
not chas v'sham, the booster shots we know.
The ruach, you get a ruach, like an extra level of of tzaddik. So I feel like that's what happened a little bit with my son. Like it was against his teva to, and then Hashem sent him a higher level of who he is. We all have greater potential. You know, we're only utilizing a small amount of our brain, and we have an ormakif around us, this light, this potential light of who we can become. And it's all about actualizing our potential more and more. Doesn't mean, once again, that we're becoming mamish tzaddik, where our nunnik voice is now amir or dead. Yeah, and we hate it with our whole essence. We're loving Hashem with all our kochas, and you know, that's probably not happening like every day.
At least for you. For
yeah, maybe. For maybe, but for most of us, it's like we have a moment of it. Yeah, of revelation, where Hashem reveals us a high level of us, our potential, or in this case, the way he describes it, Ibur Neshama, where Tzaddik actually comes. You know, we all descend from Tzaddikim. Like, I'm from Aaron Cohen. You know, you're probably from, I don't know, like from, if you trace it back, you know, it could be...
My father's adopted, so it could be my Elta Zayd that was like the Lucky Charms guy.
Oh, yeah? Well, the Irish dude?
Yeah, but maybe from my mother's side.
Mother's side, that's what I'm saying. Doesn't make it, somehow it got there, you know? Yeah. And in the end, also remember, when someone is Gaia, they get Neshamas, so they go back to Har Sinai.
Like David HaMelech.
Yeah, so David HaMelech came through Ruth, so it's not like it's not like you're lacking Yichus, yeah? You have it. Yeah. Everyone has a Yichus somewhere.
It'd be nice if I had good Goyish at all genes. Like, I'd be a tall guy.
You should have got the tough Irish.
Yeah, the tough Irish.
Like potato farmer.
Yeah.
Schwitz in the sun in the Irish fields. With the leprechauns.
My brother looks a lot more Irish than me. He's got like a red beard.
Oh, cool.
And blonde hair.
Look, David HaMelech used that redness to be Mashiach. You know, like that was the ace of elevation. Right. Yeah. Took that koach to fight and to make war, to use it for Kedusha, to kovish all our enemies, to prepare the way for Shlomo Melech. Yeah.
Power of ginger.
Yeah, it is. Real thing.
That's why ginger is.
You have a bissel of that, no?
A little what?
Ginger somewhere? No, you're not so ginger.
I don't think so. Pretty brown.
You got probably more of your mother then. Anyway.
She's Israeli.
There we go.
I have the stubbornness.
Yeah, it gives you koach to survive this all.
Yeah.
Or
just complain about it.
Nah. Only in Israel. So it says striving to be a Beinoni. That was the whole concept of the 14th chapter. I ended off saying the happiness of the Beinoni, because I feel like the last lesson we did, it brings you to a level of happiness, because there's no bigger happiness than being Dovik to Hashem and Simchus Tzaddikim, and being close to Tzaddikim. This really should be a big matara of us in this world, a big goal. So the level that everyone has access to, says Shmuel Diamond at bnei-aliyah.com in the summary, Tanya summary, the midrash of the Beinoni are accessible to every Jew, does not despise Ra, but behaves perfectly. He distracts himself from the selfish voice within by asserting his commitment to the truth. This was the beginning of the chapter, which we did. The level of the Tzaddik is a gift from above, and that's why we made the second vow not to be a Rasha. That was explaining the double Lashon.
Right.
Correct behavior is always available to all of us. So we all can have good habits. That's really striving for tzidkus. This is now where where this is where Shmuel Diamond Meir holds that all of us, and he bases it on Romanus Freyman and the Bavish Rebbe, that all of us can become tzaddikim. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because this was said, striving for tzidkus. The Benini should set aside time to develop a distaste for Ra and pleasure in Ruchnius. Even if this distaste pleasure is imaginary, if the Beni uses it to avoid being avarice and perform mitzvahs, it's called a complete service, avodah tama. He doesn't go into the Ibu Neshama thing. So, but that just shows you as a gift. Hashem can suddenly shine at you extra levels. Why not? You know, when we perform Shikams, Hashem can elevate us. Amei kulam tzaddikim. It's what we say in Pekavas, and before we learn,
we're all tzaddikim.
Yeah, so we all have within us the ability to become tzaddikim.
You're saying everyone really is a big tzaddik.
Yeah, ultimately. I knew you were going to say it. I was having a whole conversation.
I think a lot of people in this neighborhood know what Kapalach is.
I was having a whole conversation with Shlomo about thank you Hashem, because that was his main thing. He spoke about Lo Shavis.
I know, yeah.
And he gave you a shout out. First time. I haven't had a shout out in the shul for ages. You got a proper shout out.
I know. Okay, for wearing a onesie.
Onesie. Thank you, Hashem. It could be worse. It could be a onesie for, I don't know what, for some political group or something.
Right.
What
was he saying about it?
The main akuda was the
Kayak was
thanking Hashem. Yeah. So I spoke to him today, yesterday about he's dealing with them right now. They never would give me access, those guys, Ari, any of those guys.
Right.
They're very specific who they deal with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I felt a bit insulted, honestly.
What is he dealing with them about?
Huh?
What's he dealing with them about? Just whatever.
He's trying to do a project with them. And he said to me, they are specific who they work with.
Yeah, they're very specific.
A lot of these artists that they work with, I represent. So I thought I could collaborate and do it together. But they just went straight to my guys. And like, bye.
Right.
And I'm like, I said to Shlomo, I have to say thank you Hashem about thank you Hashem. I mean, I have to work on myself to thank Hashem about thank you Hashem. Because they did an assign for me. Baruch Hashem, Amochu. Anyway, serving and not serving. Two types of Beinoni. There are two types of Beinoni, the one who serves and the one who does not serve. One of the two types of Beinoni, so there's the one who serves and one who doesn't. They're just doing a summary, yeah? Service is defined as engaged in moral war. The tzaddik is called Eved Hashem, meaning that he has already achieved the level of Eved and that he is no longer actively engaged in the war between the Nefesh Bahamas and Nefesh Elikus. So once you become an Eved Hashem, now we have a new concept of being an Eved Hashem. Eved Hashem does not just mean someone who's like, you know, very strict about his learning or whatever. What does an Eved Hashem mean?
A mindset.
Yeah, it's a real mitzvah. Once again, we're describing realities. Very good. We're describing mindsets, realities of people, of neshamas, where they're at a level where they're no longer at war with the Nefesh Elikus and Nefesh Bahamas. It's a high level, meaning the Nefesh Elikus is one, basically, is what we're saying. And that's a Eved Hashem, which is a very high level. What now, just like we said, elevated the concept of Tzaddikim, we've now just elevated the concept of Eved Hashem.
Okay,
let's go. In the previous chapter, we discussed it between the Tzaddik and the Beinoni. The Tzaddik has no inclination. Any in his own soul, evil holds no attraction for him. But still in the Beinoni concept here.
Right.
In the Beinoni, however, the evil remains strong. The Beinoni therefore finds evil desirable only through the concept of vigilance, yeah? Like, let's be honest, I must be like a Beinoni. Like, I'm not like even having demyonis of being a tzaddik, because I still desire things. Like, that whole sugi about women stuff.
There's anyone who doesn't, right?
No, there are people who don't.
Like people like Rabbi Shemaya, but then he's in a different world.
Rabbi Shemaya, but Emes hates this Inyan. Like, honestly, I've been with him enough. And I haven't been with him recently, but it's even the way he dealt with me when I was at the shul on Purim, he literally ran past me as if like I was Shem Shemaynu. Or maybe he was running to the mikvah, maybe it wasn't personal, but I handed him my name, like, through his gabbai. But I was
living like a Dati Lumi community.
Yeah,
so
no, I had all my phones on me. No, the phones probably were giving off.
It.
The tray for phones I had, the tray for iPhone, smartphone, they were probably like radiating tumor, and he ran away from it. He ran to the mikvah.
It's more my like.
And not like I took them out in front of him, but probably he sensed, you know, I was wearing a baseball cap. Someone said I looked like a cab driver there, funny enough.
I guess like the
that was a real like, insult. I said, Rebelli, Reblazer, what happened to you? You look like a cab driver. I said, brother. So I haven't seen you for like years. How you doing?
The Baal Shem Tov and many of his like disciples, they surrounded themselves with, you know, the common folks.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with a cab driver.
Right, and so a lot of the tzaddikim today, I think the reason why we don't really look to them as the, like, I think for me, at least, why I look at someone like Rav Moshe Weinberg, you know, and I think to me, like, if someone asked me who to me the gadol of this generation is, to me it's him or someone in his, because he's in the fight. A lot of the tzaddikim, they just...
They're poorish.
They're just in their own world.
Like he doesn't even sit on a chair. He puts a piece of wood under.
Right. Which is,
like, what does that mean? That means the chair is something wrong, like, for everyone else, and he's, like, elevated to this, like, level where...
Right. I always have a heart. Like, people used to go to B'chaim Perinsky, and I was like, we're not in the same world. I'm not going to ask him my question, and his answer is it's a different world. I need someone who's
sharp, in the in the Muhammad.
Who's in the world, who's in the Muhammad, who understands the Muhammad. But why everyone says, no, the tzaddikim understand everything. I totally agree with that, too.
There is some level of, like, a munas hamim where you're able to go to a high-level person who's never had any shaykhs to a lot of the things you've done.
Right.
But they see neshamas. They see the panemius. So you go to them for the panemius, but then when it comes to practical... you know how many times Rosh Maya told me, go speak to a yoetz, an eitz, a bal yoetz in Panasa. Right. Go speak to an expert in Shalom Bias. When it came to certain sugyas, he told me, I'm not the right guy.
Right.
I'm not in the sugyas of Panasa. Even the Talmud Rebbe a few times told me, you need to speak to a bal eitz and buying property, stuff like that. I'm not the right guy.
I go to Rosh Maya for, like, just a bracha, just experience. Yeah. Whenever, but I wouldn't ask him about a question because his response would probably be, like, get rid of your iPhone. Yeah. Which might be the right thing if I said, what about this business deal? He'll tell me he wants his asloch to get rid of your iPhone.
And then the gabbai would come up to you and say, I just send you an email on your iPhone because I want some donation or something.
No, but that's many people who go to him and ask him for brachas for partners. So whatever, his response is, want a bracha, get rid of your iPhone.
Okay.
Like, there was a friend of mine who went to him.
So the he's not the shliach for the practical
stuff.
He's
like, you want a bracha for parnasa? He's like, yeah. He goes,
unless you're
get
like
rid of
holding.
Your iPhone. He's like, and you'll become a millionaire.
Holding at this very refined level. Look, I have a friend.
I told you this story, right?
The guy, Diamond, who we quoted. He does. His email back to you is. He doesn't have a email signature. Eventually, he says, I own a dumb phone. I don't have
enough. His dumb phone has emails.
No, I don't. I only have a dumb phone. Meaning, I sent this from my office. He doesn't have a phone.
Oh.
That's part of his signature.
Yeah.
Look, there is something to it, and he manages to make business without it. But, you know, he's a yochid. There's not many people like that. But there is a reality that some people may be to. Like, always, River Zakhali Wollaston used to always go on about, you know, I don't have the. So I tried to get in touch with him, and he had, like, a whole load of, like, PAs and people around him.
Yeah.
I was like, well, they all have tray phones. So, like, you might as well have one. You might not be mitame yourself, but you're mitame your staff, you know? Right. So, like, what's the heter, you know? I never said that to him, Hashan, but I carried on messaging those people. But I'm just saying, like, you know, like, where does it end? Like, you know, begin, like... In the end, like, you're allowed it, you're not allowed it, but your secretary is. That doesn't make him off the derech. He's very careful what he looks at, probably, no?
I imagine he does.
Because he's a Yerei Shemayim. That was his nakuda. He said, all these filters, the most important thing is that you have your own filter.
Right.
It's hard, though. That's why I'm saying, when I come back to the Benini subject, I can't have dimyonis that I'm a tzaddik, because I know I still love things of this world.
Right.
Like the woman's sugya. Like, I still have a taiva in that area. Like, thank God I'm married, so it's okay. But it's not, I'm not at the point where I'm despising that Indian. And like Rosh Maya, like as I said, a woman energy would come his way. It was like a fire just turned up. Like a proper ish. And he'd go, like, you know, just ish. And like, no, then like turn to the side.
That's what I remember.
Because I'd be like the gabba, like, where were you kind of thing. Like keep me away from this. Like, I heard he would, like, even wouldn't like be in the same house as his mother-in-law when she came to visit. Like, things like that. I think that's a good answer for every husband anyway.
Right, no. My mother-in-law's coming to me now for like a month.
Oh, no.
I told my wife I'm already overwhelmed and burnt out. She's not even here yet. Because they're really not going to get into it.
Shem help you. How are you going to make it back here for Pesach to do it for Brennan?
It's so far, a half hour away.
Oh, and you're in Yerushalayim.
When's up Nachman's birthday?
Nachman's Rosh Chodesh Nissan.
Oh, it's Rosh Chodesh Nissan.
Yes, it's next week.
When's Baal Shem Tov's birthday?
Baal Shem Tov is Chayelo.
Oh, he's Chayelo, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to make a thing with Joey.
Yeah. I'm
trying to think which day in
the Bavitcher Rebbe's Yerushalayim Nissan.
He's your, but that's too close to Pesach.
Pretty close. There's also there's another Rebbe from Lubavitch. I almost went Beis Nissen's a big
when is Rosh
big yotzei Chabad. It's one of the Rebbes, huh?
Rosh Chodesh is next week, right?
I almost went there once. What?
Rosh Chodesh is next week. Before Corona.
Rosh Chodesh next week.
Do we know what day now? Tuesday.
I haven't looked at the calendar yet, but it's coming up.
Tuesday.
Right now Chaf Gimel. Today is Chaf Gimel.
Oh,
so it'd be a week today, yeah. So it'd be a Tuesday. So Chaf Gimel is the Shavu Yemei Milum. It's the beginning of Yemei Milum when Moshe Rabbeinu set up the Mishkan and it fell down and set it up. Shavu Yapul said it can come, that whole thing. You know, the joy.
Right,
now
right.
You can sing another joy song. You know?
Right.
How's it go?
So, fall down.
Get back up. He sings it like seven times. And then we get to Rosh Chodesh Nissan, which is when it actually stays. Who come in Mishkan? Yeah, and that's a Shemini. That's Parsha Shemini. That's the Shemini. This week's Parsha. It says, Mam Shevichim Lefiah Parsha. Zeh Yuvan Masha Kosev. With this distinction in mind, we may understand the verse, Shavtem Ruisem Bein Sadik Lerasha. Bein Obed Elekim Lasher Lo Avdu. So hear this? We got this new definition. When you return and see the difference between the righteous man and the wicked one, between him who serves Hashem and whom serves him not. Hear that?
Yeah.
Avodah Hashem. What's the misbah for Avodah Hashem? Yeah, it's the same misbah as my son's knife, funny enough. What does it say on my son's knife? I'm actually going to use it as the cover photo for this learning. Since it's, what's the misbah? Come on.
What is it? A 101.
101. That's it. What's his unit? Unit 101.
101. That's
that's the true Avodah Hashem.
Right?
I think there's a whole Torah about 101.
All the Sephardim, right? The Sephardim do. You probably know. What's
101.
His name? Ben.
101. He's the middle of talks about that. 101.
Big Indian. They write, whenever you're there, it checks. It's 101.
Yeah.
So very interesting.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it's Kuf Aleph, which is Ak, Adam Kodmon, which is like, you know, if you want to go to Reb Morgenstern
right.
Torah. But it's also, there's a whole, he has Torahs about these.
There's a song by Rav Amshi. Have you heard that song?
What? Adam Kodmon?
No. You know the song?
I don't hang around with the Svat guys.
It's an amazing song.
Send it to me. But anyway, so look, see the 101, Gedud 101. So that's.
He goes through all the, why, all
why
the
is,
stages of
why do, when you get your Tilush, when the first time you work for a company, they give you a 101. So when you fill out your form with the information, it's like a big thing in Israel.
But they give you a 101.
The number 101 obviously has significance. I don't know. It comes up a lot.
It's an amazing song.
In Yiddishkeit, the concept of 101 is chazering 101 times, 101. 100 times not enough.
Right,
it's the extra one. What's 101? 100. 100 is Samach Mem.
Right.
Gematch your Samach Mem. It's
right.
That extra one that defeats the Samach Mem.
Right, the Samach
Mem. Extra push. That's like in everything in Yiddishkeit, really. That's what I was saying about my son. So the Sadik here, his name's Nate. Yeah, and also the Sadik also, but
Mala.
The rabbi. The Zadikim sitting here.
Right.
But the idea that the Nate, he was saying that Kaveh Al Hashem, Chazek V'Ametzli Becha. What happens?
Right.
Suddenly you have a moment where it's difficult.
Right.
Kaveh Al Hashem, hope again to Hashem.
Yeah.
Just keep hoping, keep pushing that extra little push, that one more push, that's the nafkamina between not serving Hashem and serving Hashem. And we see that in our life. Just as you're about to blow up in front of your wife and
right.
Give it to her, if you hold back, suddenly you've got Gan Eden for the next day or so. Yeah,
maybe 5 minutes.
Or maybe. And then if you give it to her, you're in Gehenim for the next day or two because you gave in. You couldn't just hold
weeks.
Out. All you have to do is hold out that moment in the Machlokas and not give in to the Eitz Sahara. And suddenly it really is. It's all Hashem's doing. It's constantly pushing us to grow. And so we're learning as well. We have to do that extra chazara. That extra chazara. The significance of the 101st revision will be explained further in this chapter. We're going to talk about it, 101. The idea, when you're learning 100 times, what difference does it make that extra one, really? The difference is, it's the difference between a Beinani and a Sadik. That's really what it means. Or Eved Hashem Mamish. Or Eved Emes, Eved Elakim Be'emes. Shahafrish Bein Ovid Elakim, the Sadik, who Sha'ovid, who Loshen Hava. It's Loshen Sha'ovid, it's Loshen Hava, which is present tense. Shu Be'emsa Havoda. He's still presently laboring in his divine service. He's still fighting Yetzirah. That's where the Beinanim are.
Lizgaber
Alav, Ligosha Ma'ir Katana. And he's constantly fighting over pan and banishing from the small city, which is the body.
Right.
That was Kehelas, Nadarim, all the different Gemaras, all the different Makor that we brought before. Should not vest itself in organs of the body through machshava diba maaser. Through thought, speech, and action. So he's fighting in this avoda. He's trying to serve Hashem. Him who serves Hashem. He's constant battle ones. Even ancient Trudian tells much effort, service, and toil. This is the Beinoni. So that is the Beinoni. So look, he's not a Tzaddik. He's a Beinoni. But how is he a Beinoni? Because he's constantly Ovid Hashem. What's the Ovid? He's not an Ovid Hashem, because that's a high level. But he's Ovid. He's Ovid Hashem.
So I don't know, how do you read the Pussy?
Yes, he's not an Ovid. Ovid Hashem means he's conquered. Ovid means he's still in the middle of the Muhammad. That's the Chilik. We're going to see. I think we're going to clarify it as we go.
Asher lo avdai is the Tzaddik then?
I think so.
Interesting.
Because there's a higher level where he's now conquered it. That's the Nakuda. Between him who serves God and whom serves him not.
Again, this is all like the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov, right? That he, you know, that the good deed that one of the simple blacksmith will do reaches higher levels than that of which the sophisticated tzaddikim were doing, because the purity in which he's doing
the purity, that's the shittas, the tamimus.
Right, the tamimus. That
Weinberger's favorite concept.
Well, tamimus. Yeah, he's very into tamimus. We're all into tamimus. Yeah. There was a yeshiva in Brooklyn called Torah Tamima. I messed up all my friends.
They weren't with Tamimus, unfortunately.
They were not Tamimus.
They were the Yates Horror of Tamimus, which is what? Perfectionists.
Right. They were the perfectionists. They were the,
that's the Jewish Yates Horror. There's a few of them. Codependency, perfectionism.
Right. They were from the Klipa side of it.
I'm very close to, back in the day, I haven't spoken to them for a while recently, but I used to talk. Mordechai Weinberger, LCSW.
Oh, I've heard of him.
And he always used to talk about those two Jewish Yates Horror. It's perfectionism and codependency.
Yeah, well, no, the Yitzhara for perfection, like Jewish OCD, it's like a nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah, so, and
situation.
It can ruin people in the yeshiva world because they're not in a healthy, balanced environment.
Yeah.
Of Sadik Nikra, Ovid Hashem, B'Shem Tov. So you have to take this concept, obviously, in a balanced way. It doesn't mean now you have to, now every time you learn 101 times Chazara all your Shegits.
Yeah.
It can't be like that.
Yeah.
It has to be on a real way that you keep learning, you keep growing, and you chaza as much as you can. You try you try become an Eved Hashem Be'emes. You work on it. If you don't become a Chana Nefesh, you keep balance.
Be a Drake up.
Yeah, don't let the Nudnik, the Frum Nudnik, take over.
Right.
The Sadik, on the other hand, is designated a servant Eved of Hashem. A title to conferred on the person himself. There's not many description ones, active roles, designation. I once had a chavrusa. I don't know if you ever heard of him, Hanan Solomon. He's a very big guy in Sfat one time in Shalom Rav, and then he's brothers with me, Mizmor and the Solomon brothers. He's part of the Solomon family. Ben Zion Solomon's son. Yeah,
how you doing?
He's an Ovid Hashem, and he used to make me learn with him, like Chazar. Uh-huh. We did one duff, I think 101 times. And no one else ever did that to me. He made me sit, and every time I speak to him, we see that duff comes up. It's a duff and tinus.
Entire duff.
Duff, tinus, yud. Duff, yud, and tinus. And we went over 101 times. And he said, each time we'll mechadish something. Each time we did, actually. It was geschmack. We used to do it as our own chavrusa, nothing to do with the kollel. We were in a kollel in Boston. We were in the Boston kollel.
Right.
We used to
do it one time each day, or we did it like 10 times a day?
No, we did it a lot, like every day, for a while, until we got to the 101.
Right.
And he's the kind of yid who does probably done that on like a lot of shas already. But,
right.
Abba Sadik,
something about that, right? You'll know the whole thing.
He takes it literally, yeah. And he really does. He really. But I don't know. It was very intense. Abba Sadik Nikra Avad Hashem B'Shem Torah. Kamo Shem Chochem O'Melech Shekavah Naisa Chochem O'Melech. The term servant is similar to the title of sage or king. A stolen one who has already become a sage or a king.
I like this, a noun. B'shem HaToar, he wrote, is a noun.
Yeah, it's
I guess you would say, right, I don't know what Toar actually means. That's what
it's a designation, a description.
Right, like a designation. I mean, he's an Eved Hashem. He's already like... You know, it's like he's reached that title. Yeah. It's like when someone's so wealthy that his money's not working for himself, you know?
Yeah,
it's
like a new China, level of wealth. China.
Like there are certain people that's so wealthy where their
and
money...
He's so clever because he brought in all these people around him who is close, clever, who they like probably now do most of the work.
His money works for him.
And he can just go on the plane and go from here to there.
You just go private jets all day. Different him in Morocco, Iran.
Bring a minion with him. And he's got these guys who are A-class businessmen who are all his boys. Like many Shiners building up these Shiner empires under him.
Yeah.
So he's,
they do, they all build their own, it's a crazy.
Yeah, it's a whole Monty empire.
My brother-in-law is like part of that.
Really?
I don't know why. For years, I don't know how he did the x-ray business for them. And this, you know, it's
yeah, because
like,
they got all the hospitals and
all the hospitals, nursing
all the nursing homes and the properties and
the whole
food business because they got the all these catering things in Oman and I don't know if that's still going. When I went there, the facilities there is not normal.
I don't think any of his Oman ventures are profitable. I think they're more just like Tzedakas.
I don't know. I don't think that. I actually think that they've figured out how to monetize that also.
I'm sure it's covering its
costs. There's such infrastructure, and they have all this cheap labor. Why not?
Right, I guess so, maybe. I went to the restaurant there.
You just keep
ago.
It on a low key, huh? The restaurant?
A friend of mine told me he's going now for Rav Nachman's birthday.
Oh, yeah, Rosh Chodesh Nissan.
I just can't imagine going there. I just feel like...
My son wanted to go, but because he's scheduled, it's not going to work out. He's going to go Shavua instead.
Like I
he pays for himself.
Cool
he's going
to
himself.
Go there, I would go...
He went Hanukkah. Hanukkah was really nice. He went both. He went to Mezubish and he went on a tour, VIP tour.
I want to do Hachanas. I want to do it like a real Israeli. I want to go by myself or maybe with another Yid.
I'll come with you.
And just go. I want to do like a Hachanas. I don't want
Let's
to be
do
a
it.
Whole, you know?
I'll
like,
come with you. I'm waiting for a Yid. My last chavrusa with... Well, our goal was, if we're not going to go to Uman, at least we should learn Rabbi Nachman's Torah.
Yeah. I want to go.
We didn't end up going, so maybe I'll come with you.
I went to Meshvitz once.
I went with Judah Klein. We had a really good time.
I wasn't like really.
Moshe Weinberg was with us on that trip.
Yeah.
It was, no, in a rookie sense, because we were sending pictures.
Weinberg is coming in June.
Yeah.
With his shul.
Yeah, to here. Yeah, I saw that.
Coming in June.
He'll do a trip around Tzadikim Istanbul, right?
Every year or two he does his shul trip. So he brings like 30 guys.
It's like $4,000 minimum, right?
Yeah, it's not cheap. So this year he's just coming to Eretz Yisrael. I think I'm going to join the trip just, you know.
The Israeli part.
I mean, I think they're only
going to
be.
Oh, they're not going to Europe?
They're not going to Europe this time, no.
Oh, wow.
So they're just going to be here.
One time they went to Hanukkah. I was on that whole chat.
Right, I went to one.
So I had to have a mean of joining the trips, but I never ended up.
Yeah, I went this past year. They went to Italy. Weird.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was amazing just to be with them. But it wasn't like, Italy's like a weird place to be. Anyways.
There was a lot of Yiddish stuff there.
Yeah.
Zer Shimshim was from Italy.
I think we might have gone to the Zer Shimshim.
He doesn't have a keva, so I mean, I don't know where it is.
Zer Shimshim, no.
But he is one of the Tzaddikim from Italy.
We went to the Ramchal's place. Oh. We went to a couple of random cities. Went to the Bar Benel, but like.
There's old shuls there as well.
Not old shuls. Went to old shuls. Like, it was just like, it was cute. It was nice. And then until we got there, it's
my uncle has a non. I don't know if she's Jewish, non Jewish. I don't know what she is, but he has some sort of very close woman friend who does all the guides around Israel. I mean, around Italy for Israelis, for Jews.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's funny, and she's got really into Kabbalah. She's learning Rambam. She's become very Jewish. She came here like for my son's bar mitzvah a year and a half ago, and she was like talking Torah to me the whole time. It was so interesting. Yeah. She always actually sent me a picture a week ago in some famous show in Italy. She's still in touch. So too, the Tzaddik has effected, completely accomplished the service of waging war with the evil in him. He's banished it, has gone from him, leaving the seat of the evil nature in his heart, void of inner. And we complete the task, earn the title of Eved Hashem. So, Eved Hashem is a Tzaddik who's rid himself from the Yetzer Hara, whereas Oved Hashem is still fighting. He's Oved Hashem, he's in present tense. That's the Bein Adin. The Tzaddik is Oved Hashem, is Eved Hashem, excuse me. Let's get the tenses right. He, whom who serves Hashem. and him who serves in the.
Imagine a tzaddik is an oyved Hashem and an avad Hashem. An avad Hashem or an eved Hashem.
No, he's not oyved. He's no longer fighting.
No, sorry, tzaddik is not an oyved Hashem.
He doesn't need to be oyved. He's done
he's
that battle.
He's an avad Hashem.
Imagine it. Imagine the menuchas and nefesh knowing him
he's
destroyed.
An eved Hashem.
I'm sure his new reason he's in creation is not just to be in this like Gan Eden state. I think now he has a chayas for everyone else. Ulam Muhammad.
Right. So he's like an Eved. The Eved or Avad?
Eved Hashem. He's like David HaMelech, David Abdecha. What does it mean? He killed his Yates Horus. What was he doing? What's the point now being in the world? Yeah? So what's the point? The point is to be David HaMelech. What? To be an Eved to the nation, to bring down right. Tehillim and serve Hashem and get ready for the base of English. There's still plenty to do for a Tzaddik.
Right, a lot of.
Just it's not that inner struggle. The inner struggle he's already accomplished.
Interesting.
It's now about.
It's almost like our generation doesn't need the Eved Hashem anymore. We need the high level Eved Hashem.
One who teaches us how to fight the Yetzer Hara.
Like it's almost like we're at that point where we like our like Mashiach that we need the Guru the. Torah, the tzaddikim that we need today, or we need the Hashem, the ones who are fighting it with us, will teach us how to fight it as well too within our own lives.
I'm going to stretch our mind for a second.
Yeah, let's do it.
I think that we are at a level where we are on a panemius level, and it's this. I'm basing this on the Yiddish Kodesh, and based on my conversation with Diamond, based on Manus Friedman's stories. That we're at a point where, as the generation gets more and more dark and tumidic, on the external level, the inner level of the neshamas that are coming down are purer and purer.
Yeah.
On the inner level. To the point where the only way that they're able to serve Hashem is because they're a tzaddik within.
Right, right.
Because there's so much external noise of impurity, how can they serve Hashem if they have that same kind of voice inside?
I agree.
Because really, inside they don't. Inside they actually have a very small. It's not
so
as big as the. That's my feeling.
I think about.
We're really very close to becoming all tzaddikim.
Like I grew up with my grandparents who lived to 120. They're still alive. They're like Holocaust survivors. You know, and they. I don't know how they. I haven't had a conversation like this yet, but I think they're on the same page where it's like, as a kid, they would be like, oh. This generation, you guys are so, you know, schmutz, into the schmutz. And I think now they've started to realize that, like, this generation, and it's like, I see within the next generation from myself, like, my kids and these friends. Like,
sure.
These kids are only going to respond to the realest of the real.
That's it.
You know, it's like their level of.
Yeah.
Like it's just not going to work anymore. The way
I have to limit my divrei Torah at the table with my family to almost just an intro to the Suda.
Right.
Because to start saying Torah like Arichas, anything long, they're not interested. And it's not because they've low level concentration or anything like that. They want real conversations. They want real. My wife says, talk real. Stop talking Torah. Say real. We want to have real. My sons will say, I want real conversations, Tati. They want to talk real stuff. They don't want to hear like drushes.
They
want to see how does Tati actually live it. That's what they want to know. Are you actually holding by it?
They want to hear.
Don't tell me where Rav Maya says. Don't tell me where Shlomo said in the shul. Tell me what you are living.
They want to know.
It's
crazy.
Yeah. YY talks about this all the time.
Yeah.
He says the generation is much more emistic. That's why they can't solve the system.
But that's also why it's funny, I said this years ago to someone who's in Kiwi.
And then
he's like, what do you think we need to do? And I said, I was like, kids are not interested anymore in like
BS.
BS. Like, you're going to sit there and learn a Gemara with them. Like, it's going to be nice, but like,
it would seem that then you would.
You're going to need to show them why Judaism is better than everything else that's out there. Like,
yeah.
you're gonna have to sell it. You're gonna have to sell it. You're gonna have to sell it hard.
It's like, and it's not just selling it like in an external sense, right, like the onesie, thank you, Hashem merchandise world. It's gonna to really penetrate the new world of children. Yeah, it's gonna have to be like as hardcore as the most hardcore Grand Theft Auto, the latest version, like hardcore porn, like most disgusting schmutz preacher's thing that there is out there. The trafest piece of meat that's the most schmuck ever, the hottest whatever, has to be such fire in that Torah, such panemia, such depth, such umkus, that it overwhelms that kosher. And that's why, once again, I come back to the Nakuda, that really the only way that we can serve Hashem nowadays is because we have that tremendous light within us.
Right.
Because it's the only way we're still able to go over. No, it's more than that. It's a panemius light of Yechida. It's the light of Mashiach. That the only way we overcome the Eitz Hara every day is because this light is coming from such a deep source. So when we're able to kovish the Yetzer, because otherwise externally we're lost.
Right.
You see how quick someone can fall. A guy could literally be, and you see these yeshiva guys, they're sitting learning, and the next minute they go out one time with some Yetzer Hara dude. He introduces them to heroin, and that's the end of it. He's a heroin addict. He's into the new, what's the new one now? The pandemic in America is knocking everyone out.
Oh,
fentanyl. He suddenly takes a bit of fentanyl by accident because, you know, someone put it in whatever he was supposed to be, one more or lesser thing, and suddenly he's just done fentanyl. And now he's like either dying or like on the way. Yeah, like it can literally go from
one time smoke synthetic weed.
Yeah, I've had really bad hash and bad where they put crap in it from Amsterdam or something, and it's really play of your head. You have like what's it called in the drug world? I've forgotten the name, but you don't have a high, you it gets you wasted. There's something to it. You're like, it's a bad trip or something, you know?
So the next part is said.
Beinoni, yesh gam kein.
We have the tzaddik, we have the rasha, we have the beinoni, and who's this one of that does not serve Hashem?
Beinoni, yesh gam kein, shtei medregas, ovid elekim asher lo avdu. In the katya beni, v'afopikein einu rasha. Yeah, he serves him not as wicked.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, why is he not wicked? Serves him not, is not wicked.
Because he never committed. Okay, like, Avar, Miyama, Vashum, Avera Kala.
So we're now learning a new concept. That there's two levels of Benenu. Kilo Avar, Miyama, Vashum, Avera Kala. But he's never committed a minor transgression. Now, that's a high level. Yeah, what's
like
he saying?
He misses Man Creation,
he never missed Man Creation.
Right, I don't know. He didn't say that here. I'm just laughing. Cause, I don't know. Being not committing a mitzvah saseh, right?
Yeah.
I guess that would be a shumah.
Kaimis is koesha loyla kaiman, tamatoa kineke kulam. He's also fulfilled all the positive commandments, which he's able to fulfill, precept of the Torah, so he's equal to all the other commandments. Law pasik pum megirsa. The Torah never stops from his mouth. Elash ain't osa shum muhammad imayate. He did not wage war against his evil inclination. The nuts are oyede or Hashem, ma'ir, and nefesh alakish ma'mach, hashulit ala lev canal. To vanquish it through the aid of the divine light that illuminates the godly soul abiding in the brain, which rules over the heart. So
here, okay, so he goes, this
what's
sounds
he
a little crazy.
Now we need some Chaim Miller.
Yeah, right, he doesn't say that yet.
Rabbi Miller.
The Ella. The next one.
Yeah, Ella.
The answer.
Oh, the answer.
But, despite...
She'enu oise shem mochama imi yetzor.
Right there.
Does not oppose him at all in the attempt to deter him from Torah and divine service, and thus he not need age war against it. Yeah, so that
he follows us from Yitzhak, basically.
Yeah, he's Ovid Hashem.
He's gonna
explain it. It's like you have these guys, you know these guys from Yeshiva world.
That's what
I'm saying. These more like definitely nothing like me. Yeah, I'm so far from this. I'm like, these are the, like, if you want to take the opposite of me, it's these guys. The Masmid, who their assiduous nature. They're like, you know, they have no drive, you know. My wife was saying to me that she was on a chat the other day, and some man wrote, some woman wrote, I want to find my husband a sex therapist, because it's just not like 10 years, it's like become like part of.
Right.
I don't know why she wrote that publicly, but she wrote, and someone sent her a sex therapist's number. But never, there's men who don't have a drive. I can't relate to it, like, even a little bit. I'm the opposite, you know?
Right.
I ran a nightclub called Pimps and Whores, you know? I'm right. Just letting you know that, and I was in the secular world. Like, I'm the opposite. The supreme drive is not my issue in life.
Right.
Yeah? But these guys, but at the same time, it's a Madrego in Yiddishkeit. Why? Because they don't have this Lidnik driving a cop, so they're just naturally a masmid. Their teva is, they're a masmid.
Right.
Then see there, it says it. They have no conflict with the sexual desire.
Where do you see that?
Yeah.
Ah, here. Okay, we skipped the part. Right.
Sorry. See this dude? He's not running the nightclub. He's just always in base midrash. He never had that time period in his life where he had a drive.
From Yitzhara.
Yeah, these dudes. I mean, you grew up with them. Yeah? I didn't. Yeah. I didn't grow up with someone. When I went to yeshiva, I met them. I never was like that. I lived near the Mir, so I definitely probably was around a bunch of people. I definitely had a feeling that they didn't have my answer. They just didn't. V'chein shah v'tanuga alam hazeh hu mechusa ha'hargesh ha'na'a metivo. Similarly, with other mundane pleasures, he need not exert himself to master. He naturally lacks any feeling for enjoyment. You hear that? Yeah? You hear that? They don't have this feeling for enjoyment like I do, yeah, or like many other people who are more like have tivus noshim and have more of like a drive, yeah. Those kind of guys, these muscle, they call them like, I don't know, there's a word for it. What's the word? Placid. What did he say there?
He wrote, what do you mean?
What's the word for these placid, the masmidim?
Masmidim. Oh, he goes, humoralism.
What's that mean?
He goes, black bile.
What?
That's what it's called, Moroskara.
Why did he get there? You jumped. I don't know where you are.
Oh. He goes,
yeah.
What would cause the Yitzhar to be benign like this? The causes could be...
Oh, you're right. It does say. All you day is Gubur is Hamarashkara. That's not good, though. That's not good to be Moroskara.
Of course not, which leads to an analytical and serious temperament.
Yeah.
I mean, he's clearly talking about the Misnagdus movement, which unfortunately still exists anywhere.
You mean they don't have any chias? Like, there's no energy.
They just sit and they learn. I remember like guys, when I was in yeshiva, they would sit and learn. They were just like...
There was no life force.
There was nothing. I mean, look at them, and I'm saying this is why I became non-religious. It's like, I look at these guys who are like, oh, Chaim Zalman was such a tzaddik. He sits and learns for 12 hours a day, and I look at him and be like, your life stinks. Like, you mamish look like you've
got the scarf around there, like, in the middle of the summer.
He's a scarf. He's like frail. He's like drinking tea and it's 100 degrees outside. He walks around. He dresses like a schlepper.
Moshe Weinberger makes fun of these dudes.
And like, you just like,
yeah, I heard him in his rants.
Like, where is your peace?
He used to make fun of these guys. Like, they've always got food outside their room because they're like, you know, because they're always sick.
Everything is,
Yeah.
When I was when I was in high school, I was a troublemaker.
Yeah.
You know, it was a smoking chompers, whatever. And then I was black and white. I went from one extreme to the next.
Yeah.
12th grade, I grew pace and I would just sit and learn all day. Nice. 12, 13 hours, and 14 hours a day.
Yeah.
Like, momish, like, I didn't know a word. I didn't know how to read Gemara. Nothing. I taught myself how to read Gemara.
Yeah.
And then from Beis Medrash, I wanted to go to a school. One of the top schools in America is a school in Psaic. It's called Yeshiva something Psaic. It's like hardcore yeshiva. Like the guys there all go to Brisk. Like, this is like the best of the best school. And I remember I went there for Shabbos. And I remember it was till today, and I have Shabbos, but I didn't keep Shabbos, right? I used to not keep Shabbos. Like, that was the worst Shabbos of my life. Even worse than the Shabbos that were like, I was so depressed. There was no oinig of Shabbos. They were just like, the Shabbos meal was just like, you would just sit there and the guys were shuckling. and eating soup and shuckling and eating.
The whole point was to get to the learning, like, back to base vision. Back to the traversal.
Like, there were some guys who were like learning while eating, and it was like, there was like this mirror was like, just like, let's get it done. And then they had Seder after Friday night meal. They had like Seder, and it was like, shot. It was like the whole thing. It was, there was no life. I remember leaving them, and I wasn't like, I wasn't a chassid, I wasn't anything. I didn't know. I just remember feeling like this place. And Hashem saved me. I don't even know how he saved me, because I didn't get into the school. And he really saved me, because I really believe I would have gone. I probably would have, like, I don't know what would have happened to me, but not good things, because that place was beyond depressing. I remember, like just feeling like this place.
But there probably is a status in that place.
Of course, it's known as one of the most.
So the status sometimes comes more important than the panemius.
Like when I told people, the reason why I picked that place is because that place was considered the best.
Okay, a good shidduch.
This was the best. Yeah. It was like the best of the best, and guys were like, oh, and like, you know, and I was so hurt when I didn't get in. So I was like, why wouldn't I get in? I was like the biggest masbet in my yeshiva.
There was Yeshua that you didn't get in.
I was so crazy. I refused to partake in anything in my school, so they had a graduation party.
So he said he naturally lacks any feeling for enjoyment.
Right, he lacks.
So hargish hana b'tivo.
And then
Nisarach is bone and kolkach with Godless Hashem. That guy
is what's funny. When I was in that state, eventually I crashed. And within 3 seconds, I went from learning 12, 14 hours, like really learning.
Yeah.
I would go to sleep at 2 in the morning. I was a zombie. Yeah. And then one day I just crashed.
Yeah,
I think I laid in bed for like 2 months and just like...
When I tried that one time, that kind of a voter of just overly learning, I crashed.
But it wasn't like... It wasn't from a place of
I
like...
I burnt out.
Yeah, I burnt out.
I had to start again.
I fried myself.
You what guys, I did, the yeshiva didn't provide this, but I just started working on you need to change the time.
I did.
You need to,
sometimes it thinks I'm in the Arabs, they don't change the time.
Really?
Yeah, because my laptop, I had to change it, because it thinks I'm in...
oh, really? I didn't know that.
It thinks I'm in Hebron, wow. Palestinian territory.
I turn off my location, I don't want them to know
so
where I am.
You don't realize how... racist, all these little things are.
Oh, well, the ways and all that stuff.
Just these little minor things, like the way they write it, like Palestinian territory. Like,
yeah, F them.
What is the... It's not Palestinian.
I know, it's same on Instagram as well. It pisses me off when you choose location.
Like,
so you have to work hard to find Israel, you know.
Right.
Settlements, like everything. Like.
Yes,
anyway, Shem Shemina.
It's scary.
Yeah.
I was like reading Wikipedia yesterday, and I was just like...
Wikipedia's way off.
So once... Like, why is it even allowed?
Mark Cuban was saying, and to Lex Freeman, I listened to the podcast. I'm not really a fan of Mark, but...
Right.
He did say an important point that the idea, hopefully, is that the markets will correct this sort of tendency towards the left. It will get corrected eventually.
The problem is that...
As long as they don't have full control.
The problem is that...
Because
like,
people get turned off by this sort of left.
Yeah, but the problem is that people don't have information. I got picked up from a cab driver when I was in New York.
Yeah.
And he's like an Indian guy.
Yeah.
Nice guy. I was, you know, getting nervous now taking the cab. I don't know who's going to show up. We're talking about Israel, and he was like, I don't know what the truth is.
Yeah, that's true.
And I told him, I was like, you want to know the truth? I was like, my friend, my Chavrusa's son, I didn't say Chavrusa, so my friend's son was fighting in Gaza, and he saw with his eyes people shooting at him while holding children.
Yeah, babies, yeah. As like, human seals.
Like I was like, that's something I heard from his men.
And he saw it with his own eyes and saw them doing that.
What do? They shoot back? They have to.
Yeah.
And between me and you, it's...
Yeah, that part you don't have to talk about. Let's talk about the other side of it. We also got our bias. But anyway, the point is, for this reason, does not need to contemplate so much on the greatness of Hashem to consistently create a spirit of knowledge and fear of Hashem in his mind. So he's not really misboning on Hashem because he doesn't need that whole strengthening his nefesh elikus. Why? Because it doesn't have so much of a nefesh bahamas anyway. It's like it's garnished. Lashma shelo over al mitzvah lo tase. In order to come, some transgressing.
Yeah,
Torah's not going to come to him and like schlep him. Oh, these neshamas. And you know, I always try to every so on I try to explain to like from birth people the whole nesoyin with the teenage world. I mean, one guy did this like at his Shabbos table, and I'm trying to give him a heads up. Like I was quoting Rav Weinberger and Rav Zachariah Wallerstein and all the big mahanchim in America. And he was saying, no, that's talking about the Mia, the few, there's a few teenager risk. The majority of Bachrim are all good, la 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 la. I think half of his kids are off the derech now. Like, or not on his derech, you know, they're on their own journey. Like, definitely not like the way he is, yeah? Right. And he wouldn't, he wasn't humble enough to listen to my comment, because I was almost giving him a heads up.
Huh? I tell kids all the time, I was like, you need to, you know, you need to do things. Like, when seminary girls come here, I was like, yeah, so what did you guys do this year? And they're like, Baruch Hashem. I was like, listen, I'm going to be the only one to tell you this. I was like, do something stupid. I was like, stop it with your, like, fidgeting into the box. Yeah. I was like, do something stupid. I was like, go out with your friends and get drunk. Go to a bar. I was like, you don't have to, like, yeah, I said it to them. No, because...
They're like, don't, they're like, they like, tell their behandchen.
I was like, you're don't so send afraid to that of your guy own again. Shadow. Huh? I was like, you're so afraid of your own shadow. I was like, you know what's going to happen to you guys? You guys are going to get married. You're going to check all your boxes. You're going to have your two kids in 3 years. Yeah. I was like, and then one day you're going to wake up and be like...
I never did anything.
I didn't do anything in my life. I was like, and by the way, I have friends like that. I have friends who...
And then the women start freaking out when, later on. They get, I have friends and they become like, these feminist like rebels who divorce like, their husbands and hate everything. Dad,
or like, yeah. I have friends who went to Brisk, who checked every box. They went to the best high school, the best base matters. They got the best shidduch. And now they're like 35 years old and they live in Lakewood and they are like... having this midlife crisis of I never did anything in your life, and now suddenly when they are married with 6, 5 kids or 4 kids, what they're smoking weed all
hey,
day.
Hey, you're talking about me
they're
now.
Going to strip clubs. No, I'm joking. They're going that's to like it. No, I'm saying they're smoking weed. They're going to strip clubs. They're going to like private jets. They're like, you know, they're partying and they go to casinos.
My midlife crisis manifested like, as wearing a baseball cap. That's about as off the derech I went.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem.
No, the way I channeled it is I'm about tshuva, so I felt like I could channel my past rather than it be a hindrance.
No, so the idea is what he's saying is that like you can't beat your Yetzirah by depressing and suppressing yourself. You have to beat your Yetzirah in a Muhammad.
Yeah, yeah. It has to be in the real talk.
You need a Muhammad.
Real talk, real life.
This is deep Torah, by the way.
Yeah, real. This is Balatanya. It's the deepest. This is coming from the Panemius of Chassidus. This is teaching us how to be an Oved Hashem.
Right, you see this with everything. And it's Oved like means someone who's like, oh, I don't want to eat, you know, I have a problem with eating food, so what are you going to do? You're going to stop eating food.
Yeah, people go down the path of Precious is avoidance. That's avoidance.
Yeah.
You actually have to face your tibers. You have to face your inner drives. You have to face your darker side. You have to work with the darker side. You have to learn
which
how to
also like
elevate
a big concern with the other thing is that
again, and that's going to help your hinuch. It's going to help your shalom bayit. It's going to help everything.
This isn't like a generalization, but it's also a generalization is when you hear people saying this is the concern with Breslov, with the mindset of like thank you Hashem, is where you have people who are just like, oh, thank you, Hashem. And you're like, you're doing the same thing. You're bypassing your issues.
You're like, trust me,
like
brother. I worked for five years for the Breslov organization.
Thank you, Hashem.
I heard all the joshes about thank you, Hashem. Good, you know who's a good approach to this?
You need to have thank Hashem.
Who's got it clear? Gedalia Fenster. Why?
Right.
Why has he got it down? Even though he's Breslov, so you say maybe he's also avoiding. Right. The answer is not avoiding, because he went through the rehab way. Anyone who's gone through the 12 steps is not avoiding. There's no way. Because if they're avoiding, they'll still have their addiction. It's the 12 steps together with Breslov. That's when it works.
Joey has a lot.
Or therapeutic. It has to go together. Because that balances out the Breslov derech for our generation. Otherwise, it does become avoidance.
And you end up just like...
Just doing a spododus, Rabbi Nachman, everything Rabbi Nachman. What about you? What about Rabbi Eli? Yeah, Rebelli, Rebel. Right. What happened to you? Everything's Rabbi Nachman, everything's the Sadik. You're just avoiding yourself. Everything's Mashiach and Chabad Derech. Yeah? Everything's Lebab Cherebbe. What about you? Where are you? Yeah, the Rebbe told you specifically. He said you have to finish the job, not me. Right. So he wants you to become the best you can be, which means you have to face yourself. What's Gedalia's famous statement? Don't stuff your face. Face your stuff. Right. He has all these statements. I love this.
Doesn't he have a book on that, like Little Ones Liners?
He's putting something out like that.
I think he put it out already. No,
I didn't see it.
Maybe not. Like one liners, a book of one liners.
We'll see him this Wednesday. He's coming here Wednesday night. Rav Shlomo, he's going to teach with Rav Shlomo. He's going to do a shiur here.
I know.
He told me, he gave me a heads up, he's coming. We're friends. I talk with him every time. But the Gedalia, he has, I've been to his rehabs. I've been to his he's got a few things. He's got, what's the halfway house?
Yeah,
what's
it called? Sober living.
There's another one where you have to
detox.
I've been to the detox. Beautiful places.
Yeah.
And, you know, plus where he lives. So he's living a very high-level Gashmir's lifestyle, but he's trying to be Ovid Hashem.
Yeah.
Which means Muhammad Siyeza, which means what? Getting up early, doing his bodhidas, giving over shirim, giving over chizuk, constantly trying to live up to that chizuk, facing himself, right. Facing his shalom bias, facing his realities. It's hard. I've been to Miami. I've seen what it's like there. You know, we don't have those kind of tests. I don't have a wife who's where his wife's at with all the Gashmir's and all the shefa and the fanciness. I don't have that in the soin, yeah? I don't have the beautiful bay house, which I have to figure out how to pay every year and day, and right. All the staff and all the institutions that he's running, and yet he's still serving Hashem. So that it's peladil. Yeah, it's a big deal. He's a big Ovid Hashem, in my opinion. He's fighting a lot, and he's, in my opinion,
he's a
solid
Benini.
Yeah, he's a solid Benini, definitely. I mean, I don't know in a parts of his heart, but the way he runs
well,
himself.
Well, that's the part of a Beinoni, is that we don't need to know the inner parts of their hearts.
That's true.
We can assume
that they're fighting.
They're fighting.
That's it. That's all we need to know. It's boring. That's what you know. It's good because Rosh Hashanah said that yesterday. He said, it's not your business to know about someone else's Gehenna. Stay out of that. It's not your business to know other people's problems.
Right.
Your Nakuda is
my business, not other people's.
Yeah, you have to face your problems,
right.
And Malam is chus everyone else, or be a chizuk, source of chizuk for everyone else.
Right.
That's our job of everyone else.
I also am good at judging people. So me personally, I have a ptur to judge people.
Me personally. No, you don't.
Yeah, only I can judge
you. No, the Rav Simcha Ben Peshiska says you have a right eye for what? To see the good in everyone.
Right.
The left eye what? See the good and to look inwards into yourself. To now judge yourself. It's only the only judgment was given for yourself. Because the truth is, when you're judging other people, you're just judging yourself. That's what
right.
It says in Shemaya.
Right. Whatever you see and right.
Yeah, you're just making a judgment on yourself because you're the one perceiving it.
Called The Quest of Authenticity.
Oh, that sounds like a nice book.
It's a book about Reb Simcha Ben Peshiska.
Oh.
Because up until then, I didn't really know his life, so this was a good deal. Okay, I gotta get going.
Yeah, me too. So we'll just end off one line.
Appointment in
Tampio.
No,
very good. Beit Shemesh, right? In order to guide himself in transgressing any prison commandments, that's the idea that he has this constant fear in his mind. End off with that.
Yeah.
He also needs to create a love for God in his heart. How does he do that? Fulfilling the commandments through Torah study, which equals all the other commandments together. And the next thing we're going to go into Ella, and we'll get into this idea, this Avos Misteris, this hidden love. And this is going to take a lot of work. This itself is going to be an avoda. Just learning this is an avoda. It's hard work, this Torah, because it's...
This is the real deal.
This is the kishkas now, of the inner struggle.
This is the crux. It's called the crux.
Tiskan Amitzvah, I really appreciate everything.
Lechem and the
Basar. Tomorrow we're not learning, because you said you got
the
passport.
I'm going to get my two. Not mine, just my
wife. Thursday, yeah. Thursday, yeah.
Thursday morning with Hashem Tov, I
believe. After the shir. So it'll be a little bit later, but Hashem
Tov.
Thursday. Oh, Wednesday, you're right. So Thursday we can...